I literally just saw you guys.
Like, yes.
Two days ago? 3 days ago?
Was that, mm-hmm. Oh, Saturday. Something? Yeah, four oh, yeah. days ago. Was that yeah. four days ago? Five I don't days know. Ago?
Last week sometime.
Whoa. Wasn't
which was cool.
A full week ago that we hung yeah. out.
Not honestly, even. It does feel like yesterday, though. I don't even know what I've done since then. So it feels like we were just together and then we, you know. Mm. But we got together near Boston for the Making It 500 event, which yep. is in two episodes.
Yep.
Which is super weird, but.
Yep.
You know, we'll get there when we get there. I just realized that my headphones sound weird and I couldn't figure out why. And it was because I turned the audio cancellation thing on in the airplane. And now it all, I get, oh. so yeah.
Hmm. Oh.
Proceed. Anyway, it's good to see you guys again.
Yes. Good seeing you.
It was a yeah. really wonderful day, I must say. It was a really, really magical day. I didn't know what to expect going into it. You know, live events are always such a wild card, but it really was a nice day. Aside from the fact that me and Ryan Smith spelled your name wrong, it was a great day.
My favorite part of that, so there were posters, and my favorite part of that was everyone that I signed that Bob had already previously signed, Bob crossed off the extra G on there.
When you said it, when I sent the poster over early on, when me and Ryan were coming up with the final design, somebody said there's too many, Bob's name has too many letters in it. But I thought it was a joke just because it looked like Bob's name had too many letters in it.
Oh.
And so I just ignored, if there was a correction or not. But Ryan, thank you so much for making the posters. They were a really big hit at the end of the day. Everybody wanted them. And then they really came out nice. But I don't know if I copied and pasted his original document when I changed the font or if I spelled it. Because you ask me right now, I wouldn't confidently spell your name. So I think I copied. So it's Ryan's fault. That's my long excuse.
Right. Never take the blame for anything.
No.
Well, it's no big deal. Everybody got a kick out of me marking out one G and then signing yeah. next mm-hmm. to it. So
yep, yep, it was really, really nice. I mean, Carolina, what a job they did! Amazing.
Yes.
I must admit, when they said Graz said, "Oh, we'll use the middle school," I went, "All right, cool." I just remembered my middle school was probably made in 1965 because it was only, you know, the 80s, which was 15 years later, 20 years later, not even 20 years later after it was built, because I'm 106. So when I picture my middle school auditorium, I picture something that looks something from like an old newsreel. So when Graz said that, and then we get there and it's this high tech, beautiful theater that looks like it could be in like a Lowe's movie theater. And it was really, really beautiful place with a really nice stage and the sound system and the projection. It really was such a nice place. So Graz, thank you. And Carolina, thank you very much.
Yeah, Carolina, honestly, we didn't really know what to expect as far as like the production, like the day and how the schedule was set up and what all was going to happen and how things were going to be. And they just like fully knocked it out of the park. Like it was awesome in every aspect. And they were gracious and they kept thanking me for being there the whole time. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I just like flew here. That's it. And all of this stuff is set up and everything is taken care of and everybody's having a great time. Like they did an awesome job.
Yes.
So 100%. Thank you, Carolina. It was very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good day. So you guys got home okay? You guys like whirled in and I really didn't even get to see you guys until we were on stage together, really.
Yeah.
In a real way. I barely talked to you guys.
And then we were
all a little bit weird.
we were swamped afterwards with the fans and then we got a little bit of hang time at the after party.
Yeah.
And Dave, when you finally showed up, everybody's asking, where's Dave? Is Dave coming? Did Dave leave? Did Dave leave? I'm like, I don't know. He's probably hanging with Kelly. So, and then when you finally showed up, you had a line all night long at the after party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went back to the hotel. I had some friends there from Toledo. What's up, Mark, who listens to the podcast? And so we went back to the hotel just to get a breather and collect our thoughts. And so we showed up to the after event like a rock star, late.
Yeah.
So
like five people came up to me and they're like, Did Dave leave? Is he?
They're asking me too. I'm like, I don't know. I haven't even like made it through the, you know, the entryway yet. I was just like stuck right there at the door.
Oh, I never left the door. So there was a side door. I never left a 10-foot radius. I was there for hours. I never left that little radius. I had to, send other people to go get me a drink because I couldn't leave. It was absolutely amazing. It was incredible.
Honestly,
I got so many awesome gifts.
a couple of fans. Yes, I got some really nice gifts. A couple of fans came to me and told me they were so happy that they got to see you and meet you, and that they almost didn't talk to you because they didn't want to bother you, because they didn't want to get into your personal space. But they said they were really happy that they got to see you and give you a hug. So
yeah,
don't cry.
So, you know, in the events, is there's a lot of like timing with things and the anxiety of trying to get everything together and make sure I'm caught up with work and all that. And then you get there and there's so much like good stimulation and so much talking, like you don't even have time to think about all your other issues. And it was just an absolute beautiful day from beginning to end.
Yeah, it really was.
Yep.
We have the audio from that show, and we are going to put that out for the 500 episode, but that's not for a few weeks. So, well, actually, we don't have that audio yet. We hope to have that audio soon. And so we'll put that together. But, you know, in the meantime, just if you were there, thank you so much for coming, because it was really an incredible,
really nice turnout of fans. And a lot of the patrons were there. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, people made effort to come. There were a lot of local people, which I was really surprised. Like, good for them that it was local to them. But there were people that came from California and Oregon and all
Andrew
over the
came
place.
From Oregon, Andrew Stanfield.
And it,
South
it,
Korea.
It feel really?
Oh, yeah. The exchange student. Yeah. Who asked the
question. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it felt like an honor for people to make the effort to come that far just to, you know, like to be a part of a thing and to be a part of that thing. For me, it felt really, really amazing. And I'm grateful that we got to, it sounds that we got to be a reason for people to come get together. Yeah. And that sounds kind of selfish when I say it that way. And I don't mean it that way, but no, I'm honored to have been a reason.
Do I smell an annual like event? Do I smell an annual event?
No.
Making
it, we figured out
making it fair.
Oh gosh,
making it fair. What do I? No. Maybe
I'm not setting it up. If you want to get Carolina to run it every year, sure.
Making it fair.
We figured out that Sam Murrow had been at every one of our live recordings, and he posted a picture of it. And it turns out that we've done that every 3 years since we started. Yeah. And I don't think any of us knew that. But he had the dates on them for all the live shows. I mean, we've gotten together other times, but the live episodes were all 3 years apart, which is kind of wild. So
that's crazy.
So the difference of recording a podcast and making a video is the comment section. So the videos, we get feedback instantly right away. And with the podcast, there's no immediate feedback. There's a little bit of, you know, the Patreon comments, but, you know, not many. And so we live in this little bubble, this thing that we record every Wednesday morning, and we put it out, and we don't even think about it, and we
That's
go
really
on with
true.
The rest of our lives.
That's so true.
This is like a reminder. Meeting all those people is like a reminder of why we do this. And like, and
you listen to the show that we do? You listen?
Yeah.
To
the community is just absolutely amazing. Like,
you listen to our therapy session?
it really is a therapy session for us. And like, people are pulling out their phones and showing what they're working on. I was like, oh my goodness, you should be up on the stage, not me. This is incredible work.
Yeah. Seeing some of the stuff, I, you know, a lot of those people I have met before, so I know the type of work they do, even if I don't know the specific thing that they've been working on or whatever. So it's cool to see. Yeah, like, oh, you're making another one of those things, or oh, you're getting so much better at this thing that you showed me, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. And that's awesome. And then meeting new people. There was a guy who, and I can't remember his name, but you talked about him. I talked to him for a while. Oh gosh, it's going to kill me if I don't figure out what his name was. Paul
John Lehman.
John Lehman, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. And he starts talking to me about like the work that he does. And I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. And he's like, oh, let me show you some pictures. And then he shows me pictures of this crazy Star Wars room that he built for some client. And he makes these giant garages that are themed after cars. And I'm like, what in the world, dude? This is crazy. Like, whole nother level.
You got to subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's absolutely incredible.
I have now, because I was blown away. And I was like, oh, so do you have like a crew of people? And he's like, no, it's just me. And my son here's, you know, making videos about it. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it was so cool in that there's so many, it's like new stuff, you know, like new people who are obviously been doing it for 30 years or whatever. And they have a huge, you know, library of work, but I've just never run into it until getting face to face with people. And they're like, look at this, you know, and it was awesome. Very, very cool.
So before the event, and we're all in the hallway and we're chatting with people and stuff, I'm talking to people, like I'm talking to people, and I look up and there was John Layman, and I believe his YouTube channel only has like 13,000 subscribers, but when I saw him, it was like seeing a superstar, because I didn't even know that he listened to the podcast. Turns out he's brand new. So we suggested him in one of our recent episodes, and he was wondering where this traffic was coming from. And so he, you know, was checking us out. And so when I saw him, it felt like I was starstruck, like, oh my goodness. Like, I didn't know you listened to the podcast. And he's like, we just learned about it, and we just decided last night to fly out here. And I wanted to talk to him all weekend because the work that he does is absolutely incredible. And there is a small little team, and his son works for him, and his son makes amazing. He's really good at shooting and editing video.
Awesome. Yeah.
Send me his channel link. I want to follow.
Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes. It was cool to see all the stuff that people were working on, and just to get to catch up with people. I mean, there's some of those people, just like the three of us, there's some of those people that we've known for 10, 12 years, maybe more. And I was talking, like, Bernie Solo and I got to talk a little bit. And then I was talking to my parents later. My parents and my sister were at the event. And so I was talking to them later and asking them who all they had met and talked to and stuff. And so we got to talking about Bernie, and I kind of recounted the last 10 years of Bernie's life that I know.
Bernie's been at everything.
Yeah. Bernie's been at every single thing that I've been at, and way more.
Because of everything that we put on every year. He's in his term more than probably any fan of mine.
And so it was interesting to talk to
anybody in the community,
to my parents, and be like, oh yeah, well, I've known Bernie for this many years, and he went through this, and he's doing this, and then he's in school with his son, and he's, you know, just like all of these. I'm like, wow, I know a decent amount about this person that I've known for at a distance, you know, for a long time. But it's just so cool. It feels like a family to have those people just come back around and constantly, you know, be actively present in what we do, even though we're not, speak for myself, I'm not actively present in a lot of different things outside of, you know, my normal life. And I don't know, it was very, very cool to see people again and to kind of catch up with people that I hadn't seen in a while. So, and meet all the new people, obviously, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. It's a great time. Great time. And did I talk about the joke in the after show, or was it on the main show?
I can't remember.
Did I mention that?
I think it was the main show because somebody screamed it out.
Okay. Well, I ended up telling the joke that I was going to tell from the stage, and I was legitimately worried that people were going to be mad at me. It's not like a dirty joke or anything. It's a joke that is, it's a joke on the audience. You know what I mean? Like the person telling the joke gets the joke, and then everybody else kind of goes, and then they get to tell it. And it's more fun to tell than it is to hear. But
oh my goodness. Every time you brought in a new character, I was like, is this the last one? Please be the last one. Oh my goodness. I was like, this is going on for like 20 minutes.
We have a chat going on from the TV show since 2021, and Justine sent in she's like, this Bob's long joke reminded me of this, and it's a Norm joke.
Oh yeah, she told me about that Norm McDonald joke or something. Yeah.
I'll send it to you guys.
And that was, I had never gotten to meet her. And so didn't even get to at the event. Too. And so, you know, in the after thing, I made sure to get to say hi to her because I think she's awesome. And I just had never had a chance to meet her. So, but yeah, well, there's a lot still left over in my head. I was kind of rattling around from that for a few days, and, I'm sure we'll continue to talk about it, you know, as we get closer to releasing the episode. But have you guys been doing anything since we got back?
I was going to say, if you guys, everybody remembers what an impression 100 made on everybody. That was 9 years ago. And this event definitely lived up to this, to the impact of 100. And that was one thing I was happy and impressed with.
Yeah.
So just thank you, everybody. Everybody that was involved. Thank you.
Yeah.
For making that happen. For sure. But I got home. I had a little bit of a bummer because me and Mike recovered these two trees. I cut them down just before the weekend. They were behind the racetrack. The racetrack is on a river. It's where three creeks converge and makes a giant swimming hole, like football field size swimming hole behind it. And so when you go off the property, it goes down a severe drop. There's no fence or anything, but there's this really long slope. And then there's an ancient train bed from the 1840s. So it flattens back out for about 20 feet and then it goes back down to the creek. So if you wanted to go into the creek, it takes quite a long climb. You got to go down about 30 feet to the plateau where the train bed used to be, and then you go back down another 30 feet. So people go swimming all the time. They're willing to make that climb to go down. But on the train bed, the abandoned train bed, there was this tree that I cut down just before the weekend. So me and my brother flopped it over to where I was able to hook it with my rope the other day on Monday and drag both the trees up. Me and Mike got them out of the train bed and got them into my truck and got them over to the sawmill. The first cut I went to make. Now, every time you use a tool that you haven't used in a couple of weeks, you always remember the easy mistakes. So when you put the log on, you got to level it. So the first cut is as level as possible through the log. You don't want to make a big taper if you don't need to. And then you flip it over and you're supposed to put the toe down. The toe is like the roller that like makes it level. So you put it down. So then now your next cut will be parallel to your first cut. But I forgot to do the toe. And so I made one cut, left the toe up, cut. So I made a big, giant, long wedge. And I didn't realize it till I got to the end and I realized I left the toe up. So that whole log gone. It was already within the 6-inch limit. So let me throw the next log on. It was from the same tree. So I cut the next log. And as we're milling it up and planing it, I notice like the corner comes right off with it with ease, like a whole big corner. I'm like, well, I'll save that. I'll glue it back on. So I wrap it up and I put it in the truck and I get it on the lathe. And as I'm like preparing it and hand sawing it, I'm hand sawing off like the last 6 inches on each side. As I'm cutting it, every growth ring is like letting go. So it's like these peels of the onion are just falling off as I'm slicing into the tree. And I'm like, that's not going to be good. And so I wrap the whole thing up with tape where I'm not going to do any figuring. Put it on the lathe and I start spinning and water is like flicking out of the thing, even though it felt dry. The tree's been dead for a while. But as I'm lathing at it with the tools, like big chips are coming off. And then I'm like, I stop the lathe and I look at it. I'm like, this chip goes diagonally from one side of the 6 inches all the way to the other. I was like, I'm going to get into this thing and these big chunks are going to fly off and puncture my neck. It's like, let me retire this piece. So I had to retire that piece. And this is the 11th one. I always say it's always the very last one. When me and David do installations in the city, like everything was breezy until we had to do the last cabinet door or the last carry up the last piece in the truck. It was always, always the same. So this is the 11th porch pole. So I had all the problems. I messed up one. The second one is no good, which makes me feel better because the first one probably had the same problem. And I have this big 8x8 that I was going to use as a column in the house. And it was just long enough. So I was like, let me take that. So I took this 8x8 pine over to the sawmill, cut it to size, brought it back, put it on the lathe. And for the first time in 11 poles, I turned the lathe on and the lathe immediately started going across the room. I had to like flick it off really quick because this was unbalanced. This piece that I put on was cut probably in the beginning of the summer from a live tree. All my porch poles I cut from dead trees that were dead since 2021. So they were standing dead. So when I cut them down, they were already kind of dried. And so this tree still had a lot of moisture in it, unbalanced. So I went through the junk box of steel and I cut various chunks of steel and I'd screw it on and then I turned the saw on and then I'd screw a piece on and it would vibrate less and then I screw it. So I screwed three on each end. So 6 pieces of steel off center on this thing. So that when I flicked it on, eventually it balanced like a tire. I must say, I didn't have the camera running for the first one. I was like, okay, so if it's off balance, maybe I took this big, thick piece of steel I had It was about 20 inches long, and it was 3/4 by 2 inches. So it's a fairly heavy chunk of steel.
Whoa.
And I'm like, I could see where the tree was unbalanced. I could see where it was unbalanced because if you'd like loosen it so that it rotates on its own, it just immediately falls down. The heavy part falls down. So I took this chunk of steel and I just taped it with black tape to the side of the log. This is the very first attempt. And I flipped it on and it immediately started going, and the piece of steel shot off of it. I stood way back because I knew this could happen. And it stuck in the wall.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Dude. I wasn't there. The Mercedes wasn't there. If it was like, the Mercedes was out of the room because I was going to make so much sawdust that I didn't want to try and keep it up. So the Mercedes is in the other barn. It would have like destroyed the Mercedes front end.
Whoa.
It would have like ripped the fender off because it's usually right in front of the lathe. And that's when I was like, maybe I should screw these pieces on. It's okay. The wood's rustic. If there's a screwdriver hole in it, it won't matter. So anyway, long story short, after me thinking the 11th one was going to be a breeze with a great story of cutting this tree down behind the racetrack and pulling it up and throwing it on the lathe, and I got my last pole done last night. And the difference was, like I said, the chips. When you see somebody on the lathe and there's like big ribbons coming off, I never got any ribbons on this thing because in hindsight, I realized the first 10 logs were all dried. This one was still fairly wet. And the ribbons was just like, so I know the difference now. I didn't realize that cutting a wet log, obviously it was off balance. If that had dried, it probably would have been more balanced if it was more dry.
So was it any good? Wet? Go ahead, dude.
I was going to say, did you get any good shots of the ribbon coming off the?
A little bit. I was like, I should film that. That looks really cool. But you know, when you, this is going to, it's going to be doing something on the lathe is a little bit like CNC. It's slightly boring to watch over and over and over again. So I'm going to have to get creative with my editing on that one.
So was that one off balance and wet just because it had been laying down and the moisture was settling on one side of the thing versus standing up and all kind of draining over time out of it to the bottom?
That's a good question. It could be. It was just way out of balance because actually, so if you're looking at the 6-inch end, the pith was right here up in the corner, but that's just how I got the log. I didn't choose it that way. That's how it was. This was a leftover log from the post and beam event at the Blackthorn. For those of you that don't know, every July, the post and beam crew come and do all the joinery on all the beams. There's always a design, and it's going to live at the Blackthorn, whether it's a shed. There's several pavilions all around the Blackthorn. They have 100 acres, so they have plenty of room. So the pavilions, we've made 5 of them so far. And this July, they cut that. And then at Maker Camp in October, they assemble it. So there's always like this giant pile of 8x8s and 6x6s, which become all the elements for this construction. And so there was one left over, and Austin said, do you want it? I see, because he knew I might need it for the house. He's like, if you want it, I'll bring it over. So I had this like 15-foot 8x8 in the backyard, and I cut a piece of it off as a stanchion in the house. And then what was left over, I expected to use it somewhere else in the house. But I ended up making it into that porch pole. But I didn't realize how wet it was. It was probably cut in August. The event was in July. I meant to say it was probably cut in June because it still was that wet. It could have been off balance because of the way it was laying on the horses. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. But the pith was really soft, and that was where it was the least balanced. So this log, I'll send you guys pictures of it later. You know, sometimes in the middle of a tree, the pith is like a kind of like a mushy brown. A big section of this log is that mushy brown, which is it's soaking up the sealer. I had to put a lot of, like as soon as you put it on, it just disappears right into it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Always say, Jimmy, you go to school on the 11th one.
Exactly. 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 Yeah. So that's it. So I got my poles done. So I don't think I'm going to have a video this week. And I do have my speaker video in the can. I just haven't gotten my beauty shots yet, which I doubt I'm going to be able to get between today and tomorrow. So I probably won't have a video out this weekend, which will be 2 weekends in a row that I haven't had a video. So when I post a video in a week from this weekend, everyone's going to go, wow, I'm really glad to see you back on YouTube. You know, I missed you for a long time.
Are you okay?
Where have you been?
Yeah, exactly. Like the fifth, it says episode 5 of the car build. And like the first comment is, wow, I'm really glad to see you posting again. I've missed you. Yeah.
Yep. David, what about you? You said you had to rush back and start filming like immediately.
Yeah, so on the plane ride home, I was scripting, and then we got home around 1 p.m. and I was filming video later that day. So there was no break. I made a full size like Danish modern chair,
That's sexy.
but
That looks
only with the
awesome.
laser cutter. Oh,
Really?
dang.
Yeah. Is that just laminates? How did
Yeah.
you?
So,
Wow.
and no other, so there's no other power tools. So, we had the plywood dealer cut the plywood down for me, and then everything is cut on the laser. So it's done in layers.
Oh, you able to
And
take advantage of the joinery then?
so, yeah,
Oh
so you
yeah, I see
offset the
it.
seams.
Yeah, amazing. It must be strong as
So,
hell.
yeah. So instead of like making a leg and then making a side piece and joining them, they're different size pieces, and the seams are all offset. And so as you glue up the layers, the whole side becomes one piece.
That's really nice
And
idea.
it was an experiment. I pretty much knew it was going to work, but when it was done, I was like, oh, this really worked. This is like a piece we can have in our living room. I don't have to burn this one. So
Don't have to.
I
You're
don't
bound to burn all the other ones. Yeah.
And
That looks
so yeah,
awesome.
thank you very much. And
Really
so
nice.
that is the next video. It is probably coming out right before this episode comes out.
Did you
Yeah, I
build it? Did you get those cushions or did you make them?
cushions are tough. So those cushions are robbed from another chair, and I was going to just so the basically this chair is a it's a hybrid of two different designs. So I have this old 60, 70-year-old book on Danish furniture, and I kind of got the dimensions from that, but that chair sits more like a lounge chair. So you're kind of back, almost like an Adirondack chair. And so then I pulled dimensions from a chair that we have from Joyride, and I kind of combined them too. So it has the look from the book, but it has the dimensions of a physical chair we own. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the website where we got our chair, and I'm just going to order cushions for this one. And the cushions are like $325. And
Oof.
I was like, oh. And then I start looking online for custom cushions. Cushions are expensive. And so right now, I just robbed them from another chair. And I didn't end up ordering cushions for this chair. I haven't decided what I'm going to do. There's a place in town that makes them, but I can't imagine it's going to be any cheaper.
Yeah, but you could spend that same $300 on a sewing machine and then learn how to make them yourself.
This is 100% true. And I've been talking about getting a sewing machine forever, and maybe this is the reason. So,
Yeah. I say that and I'll say, yeah, it's probably not that hard not having any idea how to do it.
yeah,
But yeah,
because you gotta. I don't know if you guys have a source for foam, but if you go to a place like, well, Joann's is not around anymore, but if you go to a place like Joann's, the foam is insanely expensive.
Yeah.
It's like, $100 for a big, and this is thick. This is like 5-inch thick foam. And maybe this isn't a good idea for a first sewing project, because there's a zipper and you got to be able to take out the foam, and then you have the padding between the foam, and then you have the fabric, and then you have the whatever that little bead is that goes around the top of the seams. And
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I
Or
think you
maybe it is a good first project. Who
Yeah,
knows?
I mean you maybe instead of the zipper you do like a flap with, Velcro and maybe you leave out the little detail. I mean there's ways around it to get the same shape and the same look without necessarily having all the same thing.
I got
Yeah.
to
I
make
don't know.
seats for the Cadillac for a video that's going to come up soon.
So I have a
Good idea.
question about the construction of the because I'm looking at it and the profile of the side looks amazing. And I totally understand how you've overlapped the joints and stuff. How did you do the pieces that cross between like the two sides that you're actually sitting on that's holding you?
So the side pieces are made up of five layers, and the outside layer, you don't see the slats going across, but the inside four layers, I will send you an image here, look like this. Let me try that again. So the inside four layers has little rectangles cut into them, so allow for 2-inch wide slats. And I'm sending
Oh, I
in.
see. Gotcha.
And though, and so all of that, all of those slats are hidden by the final outside piece. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's awesome.
And so you'll also see on this image that I just sent you, there are holes for dowels. So I'm using dowels for registration as I'm laying out the pieces. I don't have to line
Oh,
them up
nice.
perfectly. They all
Oh,
go over
nice
top of a
idea.
dowel.
Oh, that's very
Yeah.
smart.
So
Wow.
how do you sell this video? This is another thing that we deal with as YouTubers, you know. But
I
I've got a
mean,
couple of
like the one tool thing, even though that tool is a laser, but you know, like I made this with one tool or.
So
One
I've
chair,
got some ideas,
6,000
but
parts.
yeah.
That, I mean, so you could flat pack that. You could sell that as a kit.
For sure.
That would be awesome because that's a very classy looking chair.
Were you able to get all
Or,
that
you
out
know.
of how many 4x8 sheets? One sheet?
Well, you could
Two?
5x5 sheets,
Yeah.
and I think it was 2 5x5 sheets plus 1 4x8 sheet of walnut plywood because it's walnut plywood on the outsides. If I were to do this again, I would do solid walnut. That way you could round over the edges a lot more.
Yeah.
So 3 sheets of plywood for this, but I actually had to use more because of what is not in the video. So this the laser cutter has a it has a pass through on there, and the pass through also has a conveyor belt. So you can actually stick in a 24-inch wide by infinite long piece, and the laser cutter will pull that piece through the machine
Wow.
to do all the pieces. And usually when you cut on a laser, you don't think about using tabs like you would with a CNC. But when you have that conveyor going through, you have to have tabs because those pieces start to fall off and then they get caught on the outside of the machine and they can't pull it through. And so I ruined one piece there. And then there was another time the plywood warped too much. And so then the laser got too close to the, it started to hit the piece itself and then started to drag the piece. So there was another piece of plywood that got ruined. And
Bummer.
so, yeah, so it was actually more sheets than what it takes. But you go, I actually said in the video, you go to school on the first one. And
There
so
you go.
you learn how to deal with those things after you have the problem.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it looks awesome.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's cool.
Nice concept.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So I had a big pallet of material delivered yesterday.
Ooh.
Everything for my pool house shed. I don't know what to call it because it's like both. It's not a pool house because that sounds real fancy and you're not going to
Keep it
hang out in
fancy.
it. Yeah,
Keep it fancy.
my pool chalet. I don't know exactly what to call it. Anyway, this shed thing that I'm building. I told you guys I
Shed near the
ordered all the
pool.
material. It showed up yesterday and I was ex I don't know why. I mean, like I ordered it, but I was expecting like it's going to be a semi truck load of, you know, just pallets and pallets of and it was like a pallet with they just stacked it really efficiently and it was like all the sheathing and then all of the lumber on top of it and they just came in and dropped it in the driveway and it was like well organized and they actually picked good material looking through all the pieces. I'm like, wow, these there's only one that seems to have a decent amount of bend in it and it'll probably not a
Decent
big not be that big of a deal.
banana tree 2x4.
Yeah. And so that's all there and because I had made the whole thing in Fusion. I've got drawings for the walls. Like I just exported a drawing with all the measurements, so I know all the spacing for the, you know, the windows and doors and everything. I've got the order of operations for at least the up to the sheathing. And so like I'm ready to go, which is really
When are you going
cool
to start?
today after
Oh,
this.
that's amazing.
I'm gonna go out and I already shot the intro for the video, so I've got the kind of blank space, you know,
Yeah.
shot, and I'm gonna go start building walls today, which is pretty great.
Oh, that's great.
No rain on the horizon for the foreseeable future here, so you know, I don't have to like work around that and try to, you know, get it dried in or weathered in or whatever you call it.
How are you going to start with your foundation? What is the plan for that?
So when we put the pool in, we had them pour the deck and we had them pour a pad for where this is going to go and slope it toward the drain. So the back of the building will be on the back of the pad. So it's going to drain off that way. Everything else is going to drain towards the actual inset drain that's there. And so I'm just going to go straight on the pad. And I looked into that and, you know, there's pros and cons for doing that, but it seems like enough people build sheds that way on pads, mm-hmm. as long as you manage the
moisture.
Yeah, the moisture, then it's not a big mm-hmm. deal. And I think, you know, I found like sill tape, I think is what it's called. It's like a foam layer that you put underneath the mm-hmm. 2x4s when you put them on there, and it creates a little barrier and stops moisture leaching and stuff. And so, like, yeah, I think it'll be good. But that's the plan. It's like ready to go. I just got to go up and like chalk the lines and start building walls. And I'm pretty excited.
Is this multiple videos or one video?
It'll definitely have to be multiples. I don't really know yet. I'm going to try to keep it like I'm doing this for the first time. So let's see how far I get in the next week or 2 weeks or whatever. But I'm thinking I should be able to do a framing video and then like a roof video and then a sheathing video and then a
gotcha.
Door windows. And then it's like, you know, and then after that, I don't know about like the roofing material and the siding. Those are going to be a bit more, you know, unknown and kind of labor intensive. So
yeah,
I don't know.
That answers my follow-up question. I was like, is there a deadline for the whole thing? But if you're going to break it up, then probably not.
Yeah. I'm hoping to have it, you know, dried so that it won't get wet on the inside before it starts getting really, really cold. And I mean, we don't get a lot of snow here anyway, but I would like to get all that done before the snow and then, kind of work on the siding and stuff over the winter. That's my plan. And then the inside of it, I'm not even thinking about the inside finish. I'm just going to let that be probably after the videos are done, you know, just worry about the outside. But I'm pretty excited about it, building this. It's something kind of new for me. And it's funny because I talk about that in the intro, is that building something this big is new for me. But then you look at other people's videos and like building sheds is not new. Building sheds is not hard. It's not even necessarily interesting, but for me, it's a new challenge. It's a new, you know, it's the next step. And I also know that, like I've talked about on here before, it's a step towards something bigger. So me learning the stuff that I don't know and actually doing this is getting me that much closer to the A-frame. And I feel like the reality of like, yes, I have now done this small version. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to give me a lot more confidence.
100%, you'll get that.
You know, to do the A-frame, and so I'm pretty excited about it. And then I've also got other projects that I can't quite talk about yet, because they're under NDA. But they're due. One of them is due in October, beginning of October, which is like a month from now. And so I'm going to be building this thing outside, and then doing some stuff inside that's very, very different at the same time. And I'm going to go back and forth and try to keep them both rolling. And I'm also going to Autodesk University.
Fancy.
Yeah, they're bringing me down to
fancy
do some video and stuff of that, which is really awesome. And
oh, that's cool. When is that?
Go to it. That's next week. So we're not going to have a show next week because I'm going to be in Nashville.
That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. But I'm looking forward to it. So,
How do you handle two projects at the same time? Like,
I don't know yet.
Like mentally.
A little bit at a time. You just push one.
So these
and
are
the other one.
These are really different. Like, one of them is construction, one of them is like electronics and, you know, inside, you know, I don't know, like at a desk kind of thinking. And so I'm going to just try to set up goals for, you know, it, like tomorrow, if I can get this wall framed, then the next day I'm going to spend programming. And then the next day, you know, so I'm just trying to keep them both balanced, knowing that the one that actually has a deadline is going to have to take priority. But I'm waiting on some product to show up. I'm waiting on some material to show up. So before I have everything I need to go on that electronics one, I'm just going to like steam ahead on the building and kind of see how far I can get. So Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't typically have more than one project going at the same time. Like production, I'm always thinking about a few things that are down the road, but it's easy to set that stuff aside. But it's a little bit harder when you have two messes that you have to manage, you know, like two sets of material and two sets of, so. They're both really cool. So I'm excited about both of them.
We doing multiple projects at the same time is not something I l enjoy doing, but I have over the past few months had various projects going at the same time, and we're always moving something out of the way to not show it in the video so it doesn't screw up the Marvel universe of make something and mess up all the timeline. So it's one of those like, man, I need more space because I don't have anywhere to put this stupid thing that's in the way.
You should, instead of moving it and hiding it, you should just blur it and then, you know, like put a
Oh,
big
that's
question
engagement.
mark on it or something. So people are like, ooh, what's that thing?
That'd be nice if I could blur everything around me in
You can
real
get like a
life.
zoom filter or whatever that
No,
blurs
but in real
everything.
life. So, like when I come in, it's blurry so it doesn't look messy
Oh, there you go.
all the time.
So we did kind of have like a little bit of a topic we were going to talk about. And I don't even remember what it was. Something about people,
See,
being around people or events or
doing live
something.
events because we all do them. I do them more often than you guys. I basically throw live events in my house all the time. So, live events. How do you guys feel about going doing live? How do you guys feel about this recent live event that we did? It's been a while for you, Bob and Dave. Obviously, it's been a while for you. It's kind of an ongoing joke that you don't like to go out, which is totally cool. But you came out this weekend, and I think you had a pleasantly nice time. Do you think?
So, I mean, I had an amazing time. I think the
We joke about it so much. Sorry to cut you off, but we joke about it so much that people were very conscious not to annoy you.
Yeah, and it actually it
Or
made me
not
think.
necessarily annoy you, but to get into your personal space too much. But you know, we kind of do it as a joke, and people were very respectful. At least they said to me, they're like, "Is it okay if I go say hi to Dave?" And where is Dave? If I don't want to bother Dave, I'm like, just go say hi. This is now's your chance to annoy him. He's going home tomorrow.
I go to the events to talk to people and to hang out. And I think it kind of made me realize I probably talk about not leaving the house too much because
It's a joke. It became a joke.
I mean it's I like staying at home. You know, we bought
Me
this
too.
house so I could be here
Me too. I
and
hate leaving.
I have a routine. I have a schedule. I'm like a dog. You know, when you break up that routine for the dog, they're like, what? Everything is chaos. You know, and so it is a disruption to the system when I have an event because it's more than just leaving for 2 days. It's like getting all the other projects lined up and making sure, like, you know, if you sell stuff and ship stuff, like that is all
Everyone's
ready to
taken care
go, and
of, yeah.
and all of that is just, it's not, stress seems like too strong of a word, but it can be stressful or cause a little bit of anxiety. And so maybe I've talked about it too much, and it's not that big of a deal. I am a very shy person. S something happens when I tell my something happens when I can prepare. So if I'm like, oh, I'm going to be talking to people all day, I put my talking to people all day suit on and I am completely fine. And you know, there's that for whatever reason that shyness goes away. It's also nice to have two other podcast hosts to do it with because it just feels like you're part of something. And you know, there's not the focus is spread out. And so I hope everybody that wanted to come say hello or share what they're working on with me did because that's why I'm there. And I look forward to doing it again someday, not anytime in the next few months, but.
Yeah. I agree with you in that I think all of us are adverse to like disruption. Like we have patterns, we have schedules, we have things that we're comfortable in, and that's not bad. But anytime you have something that's going to disrupt that, it feels like you don't want it because it just becomes, it's like a little bit unknown and it just changes the patterns that you get into and everything. And so I definitely feel that as well. But then almost every time that things, I decide for things to be disrupted, it ends up being good. I think that's when a lot of change happens in life, and a lot of growth and a lot of new experiences, when
yes.
your patterns get disrupted, you allow them to be disrupted. It's just hard going up to it. On the way to something like, you know, disruption, you're always like, oh, it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to feel this way. And it's going to, and mm-hmm. then you get out of it and you're like, oh man, that wasn't so
amazing.
Bad. That was yeah. great. You know, or, so yeah, it's the same kind of thing. Like I don't look forward to, it's not that I don't look forward to being with people or going to things. I don't look forward to the time away. I feel like I'm missing out on, like, you know, I'm hyper focused on my family and on here. And so I, you know, I miss out on a thing. It, I know it's not a big deal, but I still feel like it's a big deal because I don't mm-hmm. miss out on the thing. And so it's not that has nothing to do with where I'm going. It's what I'm leaving. That's the thing that is the disruption for me. And I was telling you guys before we started recording, like this event that we just went to was the first one I've been to in a long time, but somehow I'm also going to Nashville next week, all of the sudden. Mm-hmm. And then in October, I'm probably going to Texas and Connecticut.
And oh, then, wow.
And then the next month, I'm going two places. And the next month, I'm going two places. Like, I have a thing that I'm working on that
are
might
these all private or public things?
They're private. They're shoots. But it's weird that all of a sudden stuff has lined up to where I might be traveling a couple of times a month for a few days for the next several months. And it's a cool opportunity, and it's, you know, but it not having traveled a whole lot outside of family stuff for a long time. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is going to stack up, and I'm not really sure how I feel about it.
In the teens, we would all travel a lot.
Of like, you know, I was kind of dreading the missing out on normal life. And then I get there and I'm like, no, this is wonderful. This is great. This pushes me in new ways. And it was great. Doing that kind of with people thing is different than going to do work somewhere for sure. So I don't expect that same experience, but I think it was a good stretching of me to like, you need to be disrupted a little bit more. You need to go do things that you're not necessarily looking forward to or comfortable with, or the thing that you're missing out on is not really that big of a deal to miss out on occasion. And so I'm in the middle there of looking forward to and not looking forward to, you know, that those opportunities. Like, of course I'm looking forward to them, but you know, I'm fighting that thing in me that doesn't want to be disrupted a little bit. So yeah,
I should have brought this up earlier. One of the biggest things for me was so many people talked about my latest video, which is basically just an art piece that hangs on the wall. I got so much amazing feedback on that, saying, you know, this was one of my favorite pieces and I love this direction. Please keep it up. Because those particular videos, I don't want to keep talking about performance, but these videos, they don't do well because I don't know how to sell them. But getting that real feedback from people saying that is absolutely amazing, because I felt like this latest project it's my favorite project so far. My next project will probably be my favorite project, but right now that last one it is my favorite. And so to get that feedback and say, like, please do more of this, is the push that I need to keep pursuing that creative stuff. You know, I did say a while back that, you know, I'm not going to do like Tool videos, but, and now I've got like a couple of Tool videos that I'm working on, and it kind of stinks, but I try to bring creativity into it anyway. I do have to pay bills, and yeah. Art doesn't always pay the bills. But I just wanted to thank all the people that came up and gave me the encouragement to keep pursuing the creative route that I'm and path that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I needed that. I definitely needed that face to face public talking.
Yeah. And like you said, we don't get comments too much on the podcast. We hardly ever see. There's no ongoing public comment section, which is something that podcast probably should figure out a way to do, but there's no YouTube for Well, there is YouTube for podcasts, but we all go to our listeners. If our listeners, various listeners, would have comment sections.
Yeah.
Interactive comment sections versus just leaving a review.
I had a similar, I mean, probably not as much, but I did have a few people ask me about the Gia, and it's the same situation where, like, I enjoy doing that, but it doesn't perform at all. Like, nobody, it doesn't feel like anybody wants to see me work on a Gia, you know, when it comes to the video going out. But at the same time, I had multiple people come up and say, man, when's the next Gia video coming out? I have a car sitting in my living room that's like in two pieces, and I don't have any motivation to work on it, you know, until I see you work on it. Not in the living room, but they, you know, people do have project cars that are working on it at the same pace that I'm working or not working on mine. And so to hear that it's helpful and a motivation for at least somebody, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should get back to that because I want to. It's just a matter of like, I have to justify my time at that thing. Just so.
Oh, I think I love going to live events because it really shakes up the energy. You know, we get stagnant in our own place. And sometimes, just like you said, meeting people face to face and getting those live comments and that real interaction. I go to everything pretty much, and we throw a couple of events a year, so I'm right there, and mostly everybody that we saw this weekend, or a lot of everybody we saw this weekend, I see a lot more often at the go-kart. A lot of the same guys come to the go-kart, or at least a big number. And then of course Maker Camp, a lot of the guys come to Maker Camp. But I love meeting people because you just never know what it's going to trigger. Obviously friendships are the most important thing, friendships and connections that could help each other. I could help and they could help each other, and just shaking it up and getting to meet that face, that person that you've been talking to for so long, whose icon is like a hammer. And then you meet them and you're like, oh, you're Claw 25. Oh my God. Amazing. Finally put a face to the name. And so I really do look forward to these live meetups. Before 2020, they seemed to be every couple of weeks. It seemed like we would all go to them. When was that? What year was that when we did Maker Camp Live, Maker Fair Live in San Francisco, when we all went on stage? What year was it? Was that 18, 19, 17?
18 or 19, yeah, I think.
Yeah, it seems like 200 years ago.
Yeah, it does.
And I really look forward to it. But truth be told, I hate leaving the house. You guys want to hear a funny story while we were gone? So Ryan takes care of the house when I'm gone sometimes, or Mike, the fireman, will come and take care of the house when I'm gone. Got a lot of animals. And Rob is across the street, but last weekend's event, Rob was here. So Rob would also take care of the house. But Rob was with us at the event. And now this weekend, me and Rob are invited to a wedding in Detroit. So me and Rob and Rachel are going to Detroit for a wedding this weekend. Our friend Jenny Barrow's getting married. So we got invited to the wedding. And I'm not going to be around, so I have to either rely on Ryan, maybe, after the story, you're going to laugh. So I check the cameras constantly just to see if anybody's leaving packages or whatever. The house is safe. It's pretty safe. Maybe I shouldn't tell the story.
Oh, boy. So,
So it was Saturday night, and at about midnight 30, I check the cameras, and the kitchen door is wide open. So it's always warm in my kitchen, so we leave the hard doors open, but there's like substantial screen doors. But if you walk out of the kitchen and you leave the swing, the door open to like 89 degrees, it stays open. So you always kind of not realizing, you got to like look back if you've left the door open, because it automatically will stay open at 90, and you got to just give it a tug. And or if you open it up gently and then walk out, it'll close behind you. So looking back at the cameras, I noticed that the kitchen door was open at midnight. And so I'm checking to see if Ryan did the birds, closed them, opened them. And then I'm scrolling through hours. The kitchen door is wide open. And then at 7 a.m., he comes in, does something in the house, and then leaves at 7:15, closes the door finally. So now the kitchen door has been wide open to the public for 7 hours, facing into the backyard. Kitchen's wide open. And he goes and opens the coop and then goes. He was doing something. He was doing a project in the barn in the backyard. He usually works at the shop on Main Street, but he was using the welding table and making a project. So he told me, I said, yeah, go use the welding table. So he was right here the whole time, even though the door was open for 7 hours. He was working in the shop through the middle of the night. So I slowly go through the cameras after I get home just to see what's going on. Oh, this is why. So I had a big bin of eggs on the back porch, like maybe 2 dozen eggs in a bin. And they were all smashed. I'm like, who would smash these eggs? The chickens will eat eggs if they're broken on the ground, but they won't peck at an egg, obviously. So I go through the cameras to see if the cats did it. And then lo and behold, this Rocky raccoon, first time in 21 years, comes up and he's like sniffing around. He's like, oh, this kitchen's open. And he just like wanders into the kitchen. And then I go to the indoor kitchen cameras. So Ryan walks out at 12:30. And at like 12:40, raccoon walks into the kitchen and is just like looking around. It's like walking. So I have him in the kitchen, just like walking around the kitchen. And then all the cats are on the table looking down at him. So if you know my house, I have 5 outdoor cats. They only go in the kitchen through the open window and they don't go into the house. And so they're in the kitchen, like looking at this raccoon. And then he leaves and goes in the back and then he discovers the eggs. And then he kind of pulls them behind something. So I don't see him smashing them, but I know that's him who did it. And then about a half hour later, he comes back, walks into the kitchen, walks around again, leaves. And he comes back a third time before Ryan comes in the morning, the sunlight and everything. And then, so I set up a camera Sunday night on like porch height, right at the ground level at the back door, just to see who comes and goes. And sure enough, I go out for my walk at midnight. I come back at maybe 40 minutes later. And in those 40 minutes, the raccoon walked up to the back door and was like, hey, how come the door's not open? Where are my eggs? And then walks away. And so now we have this visitor that's going to come and go. And at one point, the raccoon walks around the kitchen, stops at the doorway, and looks back into the yard like, I guess this is where I live now. I'll send you the picture.
It's crazy.
And
man.
So I scolded Ryan on making sure the door is closed behind him. I sent him a picture of the raccoon standing in the doorway, like with his arms up. And Ryan goes, did he open the door? I'm like, no, you left the door open. He's like, I left the door open? And he's like, no, I didn't. So I went down to see him while he's working. And I scrolled through the cameras. And he goes, oh, I guess I did leave the door open. I'm like, yeah.
You're lucky that your kitchen didn't get ravaged by a raccoon.
Ryan did say, when I came back, I noticed a lot of the cat food was gone. I was wondering how they ate so much cat food. Because they argue with each other. So we put out like 4 bins with a little bit of cat food in them so they could literally eat side by side.
What's up with your cats? They're just watching.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, I sent you guys the picture of the cats in the kitchen. They're all like, who's that?
Right.
So Jenny works she volunteers at a wildlife refuge near us. And so she's out there once a week and they rehabilitate animals that are hurt or, you know, if their mothers die or something, they'll bring out babies. So there's always like babies and hurt things, all sorts of things, tons of raccoons. And so they have these big enclosures where they'll rehabilitate a raccoon. And then if it can be let go, they'll take it out into the woods. It's out on a farm and they take it and they let it go. And so Jenny constantly sends me video of her in one of these big enclosures trying to change their water and give them food. And there are just raccoons all over her.
Oh my God.
They're climbing up and getting in her shirt and they're climbing on her head and everything. And they are just terrors. I mean, they're real cute. And sometimes they act like little people, but.
Oh, well, so on this one camera view where like the next night when he comes in, he like goes to the back door and he goes to walk away. Me and Rachel are watching and he walks away and he's limping. His rear foot is something wrong with his rear foot. And right away, Rachel's like, oh my God, we got to get him. We got to fix him. We got to get him. I'm like, I'm sure he's fine. He'll operate on 3 feet. He's going to be all right. We'll see if he comes back. I said last night, so Rachel's in the city for a couple of days. So we were on the phone. I was like, should I leave an egg on the back steps for our new friend? She goes, no.
Oh, man.
No, do not do that. I'm like, okay.
That's a bad idea.
I was going to do it anyway, but I didn't. So I didn't check the cameras last night. If there's a sighting, I'll send you guys a screen grab.
Cool. Well, you guys got anything else you want to chat about today?
I'm ready for the next event.
That's it. Well, I don't know if we said it before we started, but I'll just give it one more time. Dave, the more events you come to, the less people will bug you.
Okay.
I did have a lot of people try to convince me to come to Maker Camp, like a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a really, if you guys came to Maker Camp,
you got to move the dates.
If you guys came to Maker Camp It would be like maybe we're going on 7 years now. This October 10th is Maker Camp in Eastern New York. Come. Bob and Dave won't be there, but you guys can come. Maybe you guys come on like the 10th anniversary or something like special milestone. Just
My
saying.
kids will get out of the house and they're not around for their own birthdays, then I'll come.
Yeah.
That's the
Well, bring
problem.
it. Bring the whole family.
Yeah,
Send a
that's
camper.
easy to say, but with
Right.
school and sports and yeah, that's not easy to do. But I'll make it one of these days. I will.
Just like
Cool.
get rented like a Griswold station wagon and bring everybody.
Oh yeah. Well, cool. I want to thank everybody who came to the event and Carolina, Graz. It was amazing. Thank you for the patrons who showed up, and for the just the patrons, because you all supporting the show helps us do the show, which helps us get to 500 episodes, which actually technically we're not at 500 episodes yet, but you know, don't tell anybody. But the support really makes a difference, and it makes a difference for us, the three of us, but it also obviously being at that event, the patron support makes a difference for other people. And that's something that I don't know that I had ever thought about. And hearing that from people into the microphone, that I don't know, it's important. And so thank you to the Patreon supporters of this show and of our stuff individually, but the people that support this show, you are helping more than just the three of us. So I'm very grateful for that, and thank you. And there's a lot of people that support the show at all different levels. You know, a lot of people just it's at $1, which is amazing. That is something, and we are grateful for that. There's also the people that go above and beyond that support at a whole different level, and we are super grateful for them. That is Works by Solo, Warren Works, which it was cool to meet him and see his he had a wooden hat that he made, a two wooden
Oh,
hats.
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, that was
That was
awesome.
cool.
Yeah. The new Janky Workshop, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Rich at Low End Designs. Was Rich there?
No.
Oh, I thought
No.
Rich was going to be there, but I didn't see him. Anyway, Rich at Low End Design, Pete Rondo, Odin Leather Goods, Nick Ryan, Michael Menegin, Matthias Garnell, Making with Mog, Corey Ward, Chad from Mancrafting, Albers Woodworks, and A Pretty Big Deal Inc. That list got in a different order somehow this week. It's the same number of people, but
Keep you on your toes.
yeah. But also, thank you to people like, let me look through the list, Catherine Ezel.
Thank you.
I probably said your last name wrong, Catherine. I'm sorry. But she's been supporting since 2021. That's pretty amazing. Thank you for that. If you want to get the after show, you have to be a Patreon supporter at any level, but everybody gets the after show. We actually did an after show at Making It 500, so they're going to get an after show for that episode too. It was fun. So if you want to get the after show, you have to go to patreon.com/makingit, support at any level, and then there will be an RSS feed in Patreon that you can get. You can put it in your podcast player so you can listen to the after show every week, every episode. So big thanks to everybody over at Patreon. Go check it out. And I have my picks already done. Do you guys have
Oh,
anything to
I'm
recommend this
ready.
week? Okay, go for it.
So, I didn't watch a lot of YouTube over the last week. In fact, my watch later list has really grown because there's a bunch of videos that I want to watch. But one video that I did watch at the airport is called How MDF Boards Are Made, and from a channel called History of Simple Things. And it's just a fascinating video. I mean, we all use MDF in our stuff, love it or hate it. But it's kind of cool to see how it's made.
Interesting.
Well, I'm looking through my to watch list and I see Matthias Wandel got a CNC. It's a steep learning curve for using CNC. And I know historically Matthias is always hands-on, not CNC. So I'd be curious to see how he wraps his brain around the CNC. And I'm just watching the preview and it looks like he has to make the CNC or it's an assembly one.
I mean, that sounds about right. You wouldn't expect him to just buy one
Right.
pre-built, would you?
So anyway,
That's too easy.
so we could all watch that and talk about it next week. I haven't seen it yet, but Matthias is still out there swinging. He's one of the reasons I'm on YouTube. So thank you, Matthias.
Cool. I have two. One is Morley Kurt put a new video about building a secret library in a closet. And
Ooh.
I know I've seen Morley's videos before, but I, for some reason, I wasn't subscribed, and I'm not sure. I don't know what happened there, but I haven't seen one in a long time. And so somebody sent me this a couple of days ago, and I started watching it. It's so good. It's just fun. It's like he's really good at.
He's got a good energy
flow
level.
Of a video. Makes beautiful stuff, but also just, you know, like puts the story together really well, and it's a lot of fun.
Speaking of this, his previous video, I actually texted him. I'm like, hey, your storytelling in this video is phenomenal. And I was asking him, like, do you script everything out, or are you kind of like winging it when you're recording? So we had a little conversation about that. He stopped by the shop, I don't know, about 6 or 8 months ago. Good dude.
Makes great guy.
He's really
very talented.
Very talented and just really good at making telling stories about making things.
Mm-hmm. Like the challenge. He's always challenging excellent. Himself in a big way, which is great to watch. And that becomes a story.
Yeah. Yep. The other one I have is just something that just showed up on YouTube. I didn't go looking for it, but we talked at Making It 500. We talked a lot about imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us talked about it. Copper Pig, which we didn't actually mention, I don't think earlier, but the conversation, Jimmy, that you and Derek and Justine had on Copper Pig was a lot about that. So this video showed up from Harvard Business Review. It's some guy, I don't know who he is. Let's see. His name is Arthur C. Brooks. Don't know anything about him, but he has done a bunch of studies about imposter syndrome. And so this video is just him talking about why people feel it and why people wouldn't feel it and what that says about them. The thing that I took away from it that I think was really interesting was that we feel like an imposter on something because we focus on the things that we don't know. And the people who are looking at us go, oh, you're not an imposter. You're really good at whatever, because they focus on the things that we do know. And mm-hmm. I had never thought about that before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is that you're looking at the same person with the same set of skills, but your focus is different. And it makes a lot of sense when you think, when you talk to somebody and you're like, how could you feel that way about yourself? Like, of course you're good at this. I can see it because I'm focusing on what I see. And then that person is focusing on what they haven't learned yet, you know. And then he makes the point about there's other type of people that are this combination of narcissism and Machiavellianism, and they're a psychopath, and it's really interesting. And it's like a 4-minute video, but that little nugget was the thing that I had never thought about before. So I'll put a link to it in case you want to check it out.
So at the live event, we did three things. We did the behind the scenes conversation with us from the TV show, which was a lot of fun. It was just goofing off and telling behind the scenes stories for the TV show on Netflix, making fun. And then part two of the live appearance was Paul Jasper did his podcast live, which is Woodworking is BS. If you look it up, it's Woodworking is BS, but BS is spelled out. And Paul talks about everything except for the actual physical woodwork, kind of the feelings, the emotions, the whys and the hows of being an artist. And so he interviewed me, Derek, and Justine on stage. And so that's what we're talking about. So go check that out. That's another piece of the live event that you'll get to hear alongside our show, which one, when it airs, episode 500. So we'll put that in the show notes. I checked last night. It's not up yet, but I was curious to hear it.
Yeah.
And check out Copper Pig as an Instagrammer. Copper Pig, that's Paul's. And he does those insane, awesome, beautiful boxes.
Yeah, he brought that cabinet, and I was like, oh, the detail on this is phenomenal.
Yeah. And I think it's all hand cut, too. He doesn't use lasers.
Oh.
It's just insane.
What a waste of time. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Bob says what I think.
Yeah. Cool. You guys got anything else for this week?
I think that's it.
That's it.
That's
all right. Well, like I said, I'll be out of town next week. No show next week, but then we will. Oh, no. Jimmy, it's like, oh, I'm going to get a free Wednesday morning. Boo. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Jimmy, you have to tell them that you love them. Get off your phone, Jimmy.
Oh, sorry. Somebody just sent me a long message. I love you, everybody. I forgot to tell everybody I love them at the show. So I love everybody.
They
at
know
the
it.
Show.
They feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt it too.